Chapter 18. Neuroslaves. Morning brought new light and new hope. A human hand rocked Esha's shoulder. In her dream, she had left behind womanly form and become at one with her god engine. The sensation of human fingers big enough to clasp an engine's shoulder was a striking incongruity that had her come to wakefulness with a gasp. Domine ex Venari jerked with her rousing. Yaha Yaha looked about alarmed. Domine ex Venari settled as Esha woke fully.
Incoming contacts, my princeps,
Yaha Yaha said, speaking formally now they were unlinked.
Landing craft. They broadcast friendly identification signals. The Phasadians are here.
Esha nodded her thanks and sat forward. The input jack dragged at her neck. Her mouth was foul and eyes sore. With shaking hands, she unplugged herself and stood. The moderati seats were empty.
"Where are the crew?" she asked.
"Resting, as you commanded."
Esha nodded again. Yaha Yaha smiled at her.
"This is a rough hunt. I brought you this."
She handed Esha a steaming mug of sustenance broth. Esha sipped it gratefully. It tasted only marginally better than her mouth, but it warmed her. Stimulants lacing the broth stabilized her mind, and the tremors in her hands subsided.
"Let's go and see," she said.
They passed into the atrium behind the head. Mefani Ohana and Jefania Jahan were curled up into one another on the floor. From the left gunnery control sounded the loud snoring of Fenina Bol.
"Wake them,"
Esha told Yaha Yaha. The moderati primus set to the task with her customary gusto. Esha pulled up a cartolith onto the chart desk. Wireframes of the Legio decorated the plain black surface, the large titans motionless. Flickering data tags described their activity status. Half were inactive, as she had ordered. She pulled the view back. The titans shrank until they would all fit in the palm of her hand. Tiny warhounds stalked a wide perimeter. The limits of the fallen hive rose at the edge of the display, poorly represented by crudely stacked triangles. The sea was a mess of tiny geometric shapes that rose and fell. The tide had come in a long way in the night, inundating more of the hive ruins, and was now only a few miles from the Legio's position. At her command, the view went further, the titans dwindling to points of light that merged, until she had a high view that took in all the collapsed hive and the lower orbits. A fleet converged there, its escorts forming a loose screen around landing craft. A small force had broken away from the blockade, bombarding Hansu Hive, and was moving to intercept. Behind her, the moderati were grumbling at being woken. Yaha Yaha handed out more of the awful ration drink.
"That's not my mug,"
Ohana moaned.
"That's Jeffany's."
"It's the Legio's mug," Yaha Yaha responded.
"But it's not my Legio mug," Ohana said.
Esha leaned in. She set her breakfast down on the desk. Part of the mug intruded onto the projection surface, upsetting the image.
"This doesn't look right," she said. "Princeps," said Yaha Yaha.
"Look," she pointed at the arrowhead of ships coming in to attack the Phasadian reinforcements.
"Does that look right to you?"
Yaha Yaha's warm body pushed against hers as she bent down to scrutinize the cartolith.
"It's a small attack. Maybe they can't spare the ships from the Hansu blockade."
"They're coming in at the wrong vector." Yaha Yaha shrugged.
"I'm not a void specialist. Void war is not dissimilar to engine combat. You merely have to project it into three dimensions."
"Easy for you to say, my princeps," said Yaha Yaha.
"You score far higher than me. That's why you're princeps and I'm a primus."
"Look at it," said Esha. "If you were going to attack a concentration of enemy engines with an inferior force, would you come in from that direction?"
"No, it'd be suicide," said Yaha Yaha.
"It's the same with this.
There aren't enough ships. But what if you did not want to commit suicide? What if you had another aim with this manoeuvre?"
"What would that aim be?" Yaha Yaha frowned.
I'd come in at that position if I weren't concerned with the obvious target, but were aiming for something else.
Yahar's eyes moved across the display, coming to rest upon the agglomerated dots that represented the Legio.
Like us.
Yasha got up in a hurry.
Everyone back to your stations.
But I haven't even used the ablutorial yet,
Ohana said.
Back now!
Esher pulled a voxhorn from the wall.
All Titans engage reactors. Prepare for immediate attack.
She didn't wait for the confused replies to come through, but ran for the hatch to down decks, shoving past her moderati as they raced for their seats. She yanked open the trapdoor, taking the furnace blast of the reactor full in the face.
Omega-6, reactor to full power immediately,
she hollered. She slammed the hatch closed on his protests and went into the Zella. Domine Ex Venari's reactor came online roughly, surges of badly moderated power causing instrument lumens to flare all around the cockpit. The moderati were shouting their way through their cross-checks, the prayers of activation given barest acknowledgement. The snap of flicking switches rattled around the Zella like dice in a cup. Esher rammed her feet into the emergency command stirrups, fumbling her restraint harness closed.
Esher, what is happening? Is the attack coming?
Durana Fahl voxed.
I have nothing on my scopes besides the Phasadians.
The Phasadians are the attack, she shouted.
She pushed the MIU interface spike home, her jaw clenching against the pain in her spinal column. Domine Ex Venari woke badly, its soul unfurled from hidden logic engines in uncoordinated spasms. Its arms twitched. Unbidden, the Reaver took a step forward.
Damn it! Damn it!
Esher swore. The descent into Unity was a series of precipitate drops, rather than a smooth submersion. Her moderati were presences struggling for contact, the tendrils of their outreached souls reaching and failing to catch her. She was still fighting Domine Ex Venari when the first lance strikes slammed out of the heavens and obliterated Ordicarium.
Warlords, return fire!
She shouted into the vox.
The rest of you move!
Shells were screaming down from upper orbit, blasting craters into the wastes, sending 100-meter-high spouts of water up from the ocean and carving new holes into the carcass of Jansu Hive. Ordicarium was a burning wreck. Half the Titans were in the same situation as Domine Ex Venari, their princeps battling through emergency activation to bring them to full operation. The Titans on watch were already running and therefore quicker to react. Their void shields were going up. The 12 warlords Esher had under her command were tilting upwards and firing, pacing back to find better lines of fire to their assailants. Light flashed high up somewhere beyond the atmosphere as their laser blasters and volcano cannons found one of the attacking ships. A shell exploded on Virtue of War's carapace, sending the Reaver reeling.
"Get your void shields up!"
she shouted, though her own were still inactive.
"Theatre Command, this is Esher Animohana. Redirect defence laser fire to low void zone, my sector. We are under orbital attack. The Phasadians have turned!"
She struggled to maintain her plea for aid and fight her Titan soul into submission.
Mifani, continue trying to raise them,
Esher shouted. She screamed at feedback pain and hit the armrest of her throne.
Damn it, Domine! There is a wide-cast denial broadcast emanating from both fleets. I am getting no response,
Mifani Ohana said.
We'll have to wait for command to notice. Concentrate on getting the shields up,
Esher gasped. Her rest the night before had lessened her fatigue only minimally. The struggle with her engine quickly drained what small reserve of strength she had.
Domine Ex Venari, they are coming for us! Awake!
She thought. She shut her eyes, closing out the shouts of her princeps and moderati by force of will. She saw again the molten soul of her engine, the being she parasitized, a swirling vortex of alloyed science and power.
Fight!
She shouted at it.
Fight!
The erratic noise of the reactor smoothed out. Domine Ex Venari peered into her being with a dumb animal's mix of love and hate. They joined. Esher's mind blended with the roaring heart of the Titan. Her senses expanded, her reality shifted. She felt the raising of the void shields as three distinct shudders across her back. The Titan moved out of time with her thoughts, disorienting her, but they rapidly synchronized. Her moderati's minds touched the machine, and through it, hers. Domine Ex Venari was active.
Power all weapons, she ordered. Demi Legio split, maniple by maniple, weapons free, choose targets of opportunity, keep moving. Her maniple came to her, and she stepped out, moving forwards just in time. A column of light slammed into the ground where the Titan had been standing, evaporating salt and vitrifying sand. The sky blossomed with a string of explosions. A larger detonation erupted in the middle. The bombardment eased. Lines of fire arced down from a destroyed void ship. Her warlords had struck back, but falling wreckage would soon add to their woes. The shapes of dropships were growing in the sky, pale white as daytime moons. Rains of laser fire blasted down from their undersides to clear landing zones of hostiles. While the bombardment was ongoing, the dropships were left free as the Titans tilted backwards, straining their mechanisms to target the warships firing upon them. The combined fire output of a Demi-Legio was considerable, and a genuine threat to voidcraft in orbit. Another void ship was hit multiple times and removed itself from the battle. It headed off, the gases pouring from its wounded sides clearly visible from the ground. Escher could not tell if it was dying or retreating under control. It didn't matter. It was gone over the horizon and no longer her problem. She allowed her weapons moderati to fire the guns without her direction. It was a strange sensation, like having someone else move her hands for her, but she ignored it. She had to concentrate on the tactical situation. The warships attacking them were small destroyers, a couple of cruisers. Their purpose was to distract her Titans from the dropships, but both were threats. Come on, Vans, she thought to herself. See what's happening here. Fire on the enemy. The dropships were spreading their formation. Rather than using the landing zone designated by the Legio Solaria, most were coming down in a wide ring, aiming to encircle the Demi-Legio and destroy it. To scatter the engines, several ships were making a perilous run to the center of their encampment. The Legio was in danger of being trapped. Escher saw that they had been tricked. As she had suggested, the wrecked scout had been bait. They were supposed to see the attack coming. Escher could not let their plans succeed in the destruction of yet another loyal Titan Legio, opening the way to Hansu Hive's vulnerable southern flank.
They are attempting to surround us. Maniples spread. Scatter. Unto the hunt.
Domine Ex Venari's war horns blared. Its sisters answered, their hooting songs defying the enemy's attempts to destroy them. The air vibrated with the descent of the dropships, stirring vertical winds in the atmosphere. The pulsing of their grav motors bounced the ground like a drum skin. Gravel danced across the hardpan. The dropships went from pale grey to dark cream, marred by metallic patches, their livery eroded by exposure to the void. An enormous troop dropship, with a disembarkation port 50 meters across and an angular flight deck elevated high over it, neared the ground. Void shields flared as the Legio's scattering Titans blasted at it. Stray shots pierced the Aegis, adding black scarring to the craters pocking the hull. Fires took in the sides, but it flew undaunted. Enormous landing claws reached for the hardpan, splaying fingers as large as marshalling yards. They grasped the earth, claiming it for their own. Clustered pistons as thick through as a warhound took the ship's immense weight. More ships were coming in spiralling descents behind it, like scavenger birds riding thermals down to a carcass. The Titans built up to full speed, scattering before the onslaught, never still, but their movement gave only a small degree of protection from weapons designed for the high-speed intensity of Void War. A running warhound took 7 successive cannon hits, the first 2 ripping out its shielding, each impact driving it into the ground like a hammer hitting a nail. It lumbered on, knees bent, one arm coming loose, but the assault did not let up, and it crashed down. Broken components scattered from its flaming wreckage. The first ship was on the ground. Its primary ramp descended, a wide, broad mouth full of warriors bearing lasguns. Thousands of men charged out into the conflict. The Titans attacked as they emerged, finally bringing the dropship shields down. A wall of fire leapt up from Warhound Inferno cannons, immolating hundreds of the soldiers.
The enemy ran on without fear, hurling themselves into the fire in their attempts to get to their foe. Lances of knights ran into them, culling them by the dozen. Blades of lasfire burst from the ground. Thousands of beams of light rebounded off the knights' iron shields. There were too many to be resisted. The first knight went down a moment later to a raging storm of man-portable heavy weapons fire.
10th, 6th, 9th, and 4th maniples, concentrate fire on the second incoming dropship, Escher voxed. Warhound packs form from 2nd and 9th maniples, broad sweep. Herd the infantry into the arms of House Procon Vi. We must clear this area and break out.
Two more dropships were nearing the ground. While the central ships disgorged their warriors, the others continued to head to positions that would put them out of the immediate attentions of the Legio Solaria, where they could form a perimeter. From there they would tighten the noose, move in, and annihilate the Legio.
"More sacrifices,"
Apani Luce said. Her voice had a feral edge to it, as her personality was subsumed by the spirit of her engine.
"The Warmaster spends the lives of his men freely. This reckless disregard for humanity is what we are fighting against,"
Durana Fahl added. Their voices were stuttered by power spiking as their weapons drew on their reactors to fuel the play of destruction. The second dropship settled into the earth and began opening its holds. Under the patina of carbon and accreted dust, the vile symbols of wicked gods were painted. They were fighting against more than recklessness, thought Escher. They were fighting madness itself. She dispatched half the knights and a single warlord to attack the enemy as they emerged. Three maniples moved to intercept the third dropship. Its minimal laser batteries were inadequate to the task of breaking the Titan's void shields. Its aegis weakened, allowing more strikes against the armoured hull, then gave out with a bang that sent a wave front of displaced air rushing outwards in all directions. The noise heralded the ship's demise. The Titans switched to their most powerful weapons, shunting power to their volcano cannons and unleashing a web of thick, white-hot beams of light. They tore into the craft, punched through multiple layers of armour, and burst from the other side. Something volatile caught in the giant ship's hold. Plates blasted from the sides as it exploded. The back broke, and the ship dropped the final 100 meters to the ground, spilling burning men from its interior. The Titans turned as it fell, building up to running speed, the Princeps knowing full well what was to come. The dropship hit the ground. Its fusion reactor slipped its bonds. A hemisphere of light scoured the craft from existence, the shockwave blasting men from their feet, shattering plastile. Many soldiers did not rise, their organs pulverized by overpressure. The expanding wavefront slammed into another dropship, sending it wallowing into the air as its grav impellers broke open. Raining sparks, it slid sideways towards the ground, crash-landing gracelessly. Domine Ex Venari stalked a desert, transformed into a garden of fire. Escher scoured the field for targets, while keeping a portion of her mind fixed upon the wider situation. Chunks of debris fell from the heavens, roaring with heat. Burning liquid rained through skies crossed with smoke trails. She almost missed the whip-sharp cracks of artificial thunder generated by defense laser fire. Hansu Hive had finally seen the ploy and was firing upon the subfleet bombarding Legio Solaria. She hoped this aid did not cost the defense of Hansu Hive too dearly. Still the bombs fell. Still lances punched from low orbit, branding the ground like lit low sticks pressed into skin. By luck rather than Escher's skill, Domine Ex Venari was not hit, but other Titans were not so fortunate. In the Zella, passionless machine voices announced the names of slain god engines. Escher and Domine Ex Venari mourned them in tandem. The initial landing at the central point was nearing an end. The fifth and final dropship was coming down, more or less unmolested now the Legio was committed to destroying the troops who had already touched down. The area Escher had chosen for the landing zone was a blazing tangle of wreckage. The Phasadians were hardy, well-armoured and well-equipped, but they were horrendously outmatched. They had brought in no mobile armour or larger fighting machines to the makeshift landing field. Escher nervously checked over the ring of dropships setting down about the Legio. If she were to make a wager, she'd bet all she had on there being significant armour contingents in the surrounding force. Tanks were rarely much of a problem for a god engine, a few specialist Titan Hunter classes aside, unless deployed in significant numbers. The ships could carry enough. Domine Ex Venari kicked its way through a hillock of burning metal. Its guns blasted at the tiny figures running all over the desert. The Legio Solaria rallied quickly, turning their heavier guns on the surrounding dropships and raking the field with high-caliber fire. The Warhounds came into their own at the central landing zone, chasing down whole formations of troops and cutting them to pieces with Vulcan megabolters, hails of mass reactives leaving semicircular ditches full of blood carved into the desert floor. But this was not the real fight, she reminded herself. That was to come. Escher turned her head. The Domine Ex Venari turned its head with her. Through mechanical eyes, they looked out towards the sea. The sea was the key.
Legio, cease hunt. Converge on my mark. We're breaking through!
Escher didn't catch who spoke. Her MIU data feed was overburdened with detail. Gallia, maybe. One of the princeps in Sixth Maniple.
We are. All engines converge on this point.
Upon the Demi-Legio's cartolith, she indicated the dropship nearest the shore and took stock of her remaining forces. 10 engines down, over 30 left, more than enough. They had been caught by surprise, but that moment was over.
We get through there, we'll be caught between their guns and the ocean,
said Jahani Jahan, dissenting as usual.
Our alternative is to be surrounded on all sides. The ocean will be our guard. 3rd, 6th and 9th maniples range on formation right. Prepare to turn back. Come around and we surround them and drive them into the sea?
You almost sound like you approve, Jahani, she said grimly.
Legio first, said Jahani. Legio first. Unto the hunt.
36 titans sounded their wrath. Time to turn the battle. Moving to maximum speed, the titans converged. Hanto rallied his banners and bade the swift knights come into an arc before the god engines. The entirety of Procon House Vi's bond knights were present on the field, filling Baravi Hanto's heart with well-deserved pride. They ran ahead of the titans, picking up speed, heavy stubbers and battle cannons felling the traitors wherever they were found. The knights swayed as they ran, swaggering brawlers fixed on mayhem. They sprinted through slicks of burning fuel and past piles of wreckage. Thick bands of smoke rolled across the cracked plains, hugging the ground. Salt and grit pattered on Falcon's leg plating. The battlefield was a whirl with competing air currents, ocean wind, gusts of fire and overpressure blasts, mixing ash, smoke, salt and sand into a concealing screen. Leading from the front, the Baron was first out of the broom, bursting into bright sunlight. 7 dropships squatted on the horizon behind veils of heat shimmer. Smaller shapes clustered around their bases. The rangefinders in his warsuit sensorium ticked down the meters as he ran, 5,000 and closing. There was no cover, just dead, flat, heat-cracked salt plain all the way to the ships. Feeble dunes banked behind them, not high enough to hide the twinkle of the ocean. His knights came quickly behind him, reforming into a mighty chevron nearly a kilometre across. Fallen in, they jogged in formation towards their foe. At 2,900 metres, the enemy opened fire. The line of black shapes flashed with muzzle discharge. Hundreds of tanks awaited the knights.
"Iron shields front!"
Baron Baravi Hanto bellowed. The air shifted around the line, as every energy field was rotated to cover the front aspect of the knights. Ordinarily invisible, the fine salts in the air revealed the fields, disrupting the passage of daylight and hazing the knights behind a wavefront of sparkling energy.
"Charge!"
he screamed. His knights and their warsuits answered him with the lowing battle hymns of their warhorns. It was a charge from out of history's dim past, when knights had ridden horses and their warsuits were simple armours of metal. Nigh on 100 Questoris-pattern knights of all types thundered towards the enemy line. Their feet pounded up a shawl of fine sand that trailed behind the knightly line. Lasbeams blew molten trails through the dust. Shells screamed through the air on supersonic flat trajectories. Ion shields flared as they took the hits. Their technology was different to that of the void shields carried by the Titans, more primitive but less temperamental, casting an adaptable screen of highly energized ions in a single direction that was solid enough to steal the momentum from projectiles or turn them aside completely. Tank shells caromed from the shields or slowed to a halt and fell to the ground. Lasfire flattened across the barriers and winked out. The space before the knight's charge became a churning storm of fire and shrapnel. Not every blast was stopped. Not everyone could be. Shots got through. Shrapnel pinged off Falcon's armour. Lasbeams struck, some still possessing enough power to scorch its paint. A knight exploded a score of metres along the line. It was running one moment, the next it was a column of smoke and debris spreading fingers outwards. A leg crashed down in front of Hanto. The Baron increased his speed, sending Falcon into a bone-jarring leap over the tumbling wreckage.
"Legio first!" he screamed. "Open fire!"
Battle cannons held forward like lances belched smoke and flame. Sliding barrels recoiled into their sleeving, pumped forward again by trapped gases, preparing the guns for the next round that slammed into the breach. Missile pods spat flocks of death towards the foe. Cones of debris blasted skywards along the enemy line. Men and machines were lofted up almost playfully, as if all were involved in a game to see who could leap the highest. Hanto could see the tanks clearly now, geometrical shapes tall in the sand, infantry ranged between them. Squads of heavy weapons troopers unleashed their fury. The dropships fired with their anti-personnel weapons. Ion shields sparkled and roared with explosions. The knights fired back. More of Hanto's retainers went crashing down, reactors giving out with ferocious explosions. The knights' shorter-ranged weapons came into range, Avenger Gatling cannons and Hanto's own thermal cannon. He zeroed in on a Malkador battle tank and fired the gun with a thought. A shimmer of agitated air marked the passage of his thermal spear. It struck the tank's glacis, vaporizing it. The crew inside would have cooked to death before exploding ammunition blew it apart, the shrapnel slaying dozens of men around it. The knights crashed home. Their chainswords swung in bloody arcs. Anti-armor weapons took their toll, bringing low the flower of House Procon Vi. Adhesive explosives lobbed at legs blew out joints. Knights were dragged from cockpit hatches and butchered, or burned alive in their warsuits. Hanto strode through his foe, his mind absorbed with the task of multiple target acquisition and dispatch. It occurred to him the enemy were behaving oddly. Their fire line had been disciplined, but they reacted sluggishly to the knight's charge when it hit, neither reorganizing themselves nor fleeing, as most sane men would. The triumphant wails of Titan warhorns at his back distracted him from the problem. A dropship was hit multiple times, collapsing in on itself. A second was ablaze. The knights had played their role, screening the Titans as they moved in to break through.
"Legio first," he thought, and continued to kill.
"All ahead full, into the sea," Escher ordered.
The Legio was arranged in a tight block, the Titans kicking their way through the shattered centre of the enemy encirclement. Ahead, the glittering poison of the Chymist's sea enticed her onwards. A portion of Hanto's knights loped off, sweeping the rising dunes for threats. The remainder held their ground, pinning open the gap through the enemy lines for the god engines. The enemy were collapsing their flanks inwards, funneling men and machines towards the breakthrough point and advancing from the rear. Their encirclement was drawing noose tight. Weapons fire slammed relentlessly into the void shields of Domine Ex Venari, but she would not turn the engine to fire back. She could not afford to slow the Legio by having them present weapons to the enemy and walk backwards to the water. Then they would be trapped. Elements of the Phasadian armour were abandoning their attack and accelerating towards the sea in a race with the god engines. If they arrived on the beach in any appreciable numbers before the Titans, then Escher's plan might fail.
"All power to locomotors," she said.
In her mind's eye, barred power indicators showing the weapons reactor draw dropped away. The Titan lurched as it picked up speed. The rest moved with her. Pylum Auri of the Warlords was limping badly on a leg whose knee had locked and was falling behind as a result. Its dragging foot carved a trench in the wastes. As they reached the edge of the dunes, it stopped and began to turn about. Escher voxed the princeps.
"Go Faniri. What are you doing?"
"Legio first, Princeps Senioris," came the reply. "I will delay them."
The warlord swung ponderously around, guns raking the enemy forces before it had completed its turn. The rest walked on past their wounded sibling. Void shields fell. Titans took damage, some of it serious, but none debilitating. Men ran around their feet like rodents. They scurried to and fro, impotent in the face of the god machine's wrath. Domine Ex Venari trampled them under its feet, its point defense weaponry killing them where they presented themselves as targets. Escher swept her mighty metallic head back and forth, seeking priority targets, marking them for machine and moderati, letting their will guide the righteous vengeance of the machine god, while she scanned on further, her huntress's sensibilities bound to the sight and senses of the machine. She walked in the presence of God. She was the Omnisire's displeasure manifest. She passed over the thin line of dunes that held sea back from land. They were a pattern on the floor to her, not a real obstacle, and she stepped through them in three swift strides that left footprint craters meters deep. From the dunes, the land sloped a little more steeply to the water. She plunged on, beating the tank outriders to the surf. Just. Squadrons of them were rearing up over the last sandhills, skidding down the far sides. A few turned hasty turrets towards her, flinging their ire at Her Majesty. With a thought, Escher swung out the Titan's left arm and obliterated them. Men floundered into the waves before her. They ran oddly, not fleeing, it appeared, but directionless, or aiming weapons that could do her no harm. They passed under the void shields as she swept by. Their lasguns burned fine tracks into her skin, no more an inconvenience than the brush of a fly's wings. They died under her feet, their passing staining the water red. But they were not afraid, and that was curious. Some fired magnetic grapnel lines up at her hips, 15 meters over their heads. She laughed a symphonic warhorn blurt at their efforts and strode over them. Other Titans followed her, the water building up around their ankles, then to their knees. Their pursuers could come no closer. The open ocean lay ahead. A sonorous alarm sounded. The first void shield was close to failure.
"Turn about face," she commanded.
Domine Ex Venari turned around. The first void went down, causing an expanding, foaming ring to form in the water's surface, and sending a shockwave of rainbow spray outwards in a perfect circle. Her sister Titans passed by her ocular senses, taking the water in a line with quiet dignity, while a horde of insects upon the shore attempted to discomfort them. A trail of wreckage led down from the dunes, and the path beaten through them by the Legio. Domine Ex Venari was tall enough to see clearly over the dunes to the broken dropships on the far side. Thick black clouds of smoke rose from their ruin. The bodies of men lay everywhere, crushed into the sand, blasted to scraps by Titan weaponry. Tanks burned. There were casualties from the Legio, of course. A warhound lay face down in the dunes. A reaver rolled upon its back, trying the impossible feat of rising. The enemy was still coming. Pylum Auri's last field went out, and shots began to hammer into his armour. The knights splashed along the water's edge, turning to Domine Ex Venari's left, accelerating away from the enemy so they could come about and get around the enemy's rear. Already, 3rd, 6th, and 9th maniples were ploughing deeper into the water, beginning their own slow arc that would see them follow the knights and outflank the enemy.
Buy our flanking force time! Destroy them!
She screamed. Domine Exvenari howled. Its song was picked up by the others, until every Titan in the line blared anger at their betrayers, a wall of noise that should have shattered the enemy through terror alone. But still they kept on coming.
Half speed back. Target the tanks. 3rd, 6th, and 9th maniples. Good hunting!
The Titans waded backwards into the sea, firing all guns as they went. The thunder of their guns was deafening, a rolling, snapping, crashing wall of sound that obliterated the roar of the ocean. The waves were wiped from existence by the return fire of the enemy and void shield displacement activity. Beach and water churned into dirty foam that barely had time to settle before another shell hit sent it pluming upwards. Laser blasters turned the sand into glass. Missile hits filled it with craters. Gatling blasters dug trenches with bullets the size of men's heads. The air was soon so thick with spray, sand, smoke and blood, it made a grotesque kind of fog. Domine Exvenari was up to its waist in water when a new alarm rang. Escher had heard it so few times she failed to recognise what it signalled. A thrill of fear from the Titan's machine spirit let her know.
Borders! Yeah, take the strain a moment. Aye, Escher.
The crushing weight of dominating the Titan passed from Escher. Free of its presence, she sent her consciousness into the subsystems, checking little-used auger eyes arrayed in armoured housings upon the Titan's surface. She caught the Borders at the back, about to breach the door. There were 5 of them, wearing fully enclosed carapace armour rigged with climbing gear. They clung to the shoulders around the access portal with magnetic pads. Some of the grapnel firers had been successful after all. They activated a fusion device and swung out of the way. Its detonation took out the watching auger along with the door. Yaha groaned with effort. She was of princeps material, perhaps, but that was a long way from commanding her own Titan. Escher quickly dipped back into the manifold. The Moderati Primus gave a noise of relief, blood trickling from her nose behind her helm's visor. Alarms whooped from every part of the Zella. Snapping lasgun fire rattled around the atrium, audible even through the thick cockpit door, as emplaced lasers dropped out of the ceiling and raked the room. They were silenced. Escher could get no vid feed from the room on the other side of the Zella door.
"Weapons Moderati, report!"
she voxed. The 3 of them voxed back quickly, stating their names. Their voices were distant. All 3 were deep in the manifold, and ignorant of what was happening within the Titan.
"Omega-6, report in," she voxed.
No reply. The enemy could be battering their way into the reactor. Down there, in the cramped space around the core, was the realm of the Titan engine seer. He was alone, overseeing the 12 slaved servitors bonded to the machine directly, whose neural architecture supplied part of the basis for the Titan's own mind. If the enemy got in there. Switching back and forth between the view of the battle and the Zella made her head spin. On the shore, the enemy infantry had come as far as the water. The tanks stopped within the shelter of the dunes, where mounded sand would blunt the impact of god weapons. A barrage rippled along their line like a salute. Each impact weakened a void shield, nudging their efficacy down, allowing shots to pass through. When the last failed, the hail of explosives would hammer into plasteel skin. On their own, the tank shots were insignificant blows. Together, they could slay a demigod. A clang rang off the Zella door. A point of bright molten light grew in the centre. Intolerable heat burned Escher's back, and Domine Exvenari's warhorns blared in sympathetic pain. Escher slapped the restraint release on her harness, got up and drew her las pistol. The interface cable pulled painfully at her skull. She was still fully bonded via the MIU, and the interior of the cabin and the battle outside superimposed over each other sickeningly. She could still see well enough to shoot. A Phasadian burst through the door, his face hidden behind a snout-like breathing mask. She raised her gun. The Titan lurched as it clumsily mirrored her movement. The man stumbled into the room, arms outstretched. She shot him through the heart, too late to stop the grenade bouncing down into the well where the Moderati sat. It went off with a sharp crack like a firework. Metal stung her shoulder. Yeha screamed, and Mephani slumped over her smoking console. Fire caught in her deck, setting her body afire. Escher had no time to attend to the unfolding disaster. There was a second man behind the first. He wore no mask. His face was ghastly pale, showing the expression of a man undergoing a palsy. His muscles twitched. He drooled. His eyes rolled. He raised his gun stiffly, as if he were fighting his own movements.
I can't,
he said. The gun shook.
My name is Etambok. I'm loyal to the Emperor.
Escher moved to the side. The Titan moved with her, nearly falling off balance, its stabilizers working at full capacity. Bok stumbled sideways into the door jamb, sending his shot wide. The lasbolt hit Escher in the shoulder. Her arm went dead, and her gun fell from her hand. She cried out, and Domine Ex Venaris screamed with her. Bok grunted with effort, trying to keep the gun down. She saw now that a blood-crusted device was clamped to his forehead. A single red point of light glimmered malevolently on its side.
No, no,
he moaned.
My name is Etambok. I am loyal to the Emperor.
The gun pointed at her head. Escher stared at him.
I'm sorry, he said.
Bok cried out and lifted into the air. The point of mechadendrite emerged from his chest. He blinked in surprise and dropped to the floor, revealing Omega-6 in the doorway.
Neuroslaves, said the tech priest. Diabolical technologies. The Dark Mechanicum threw all morality into the smelter in their rush for knowledge. They will damn us all.
His bloodied appendage whisked back beneath his robes, and he towed the body with an armored foot.
This poor soul betrayed no one.
Fire suppressant gushed from an extinguisher. Jefania Jahan doused the body of her comrade. The smell of burnt meat and chemicals choked them all. Omega-6's hood rustled as he looked up at Escher.
Can you fight, Princeps?
Escher probed the cauterized wound in her shoulder. She winced. She could not move her arm, but she did not need to. She nodded.
Moderati Primus?
Asked Omega-6. Yaha-Yaha made a grunt that carried more affirmation than pain.
Then I shall be back into my chamber, said Omega-6. This battle is not over.
He went away towards the rear of the atrium. Bright light, reflected from the surface of the Chymist Sea, blazed through the shattered doorway into the Zella. Wincing, Escher lowered herself back into the chair.
Let us finish this, she said.
The manifold rushed up to engulf her, taking away the greater part of her pain, and the battle outside refocused in her mind, once more supplanting the cockpit view. More of the enemy were forming up. There were three lines of tanks now bombarding the Legio. Their tactics were suicidal and made no sense. She understood why. The finesse of control granted by the neuro units was probably not great. The enemy were dying in droves, but it was a battle of mutual annihilation. Another two engines had fallen, their overheating reactors boiling the sea into scalding mist. Warhorns blared on the far side of the gunline. Giant shapes swaggered out of the murk of battle. Seven war engines from 3rd, 6th and 9th maniples. Two warhounds emerged first, inferno guns scouring the dunes clear with giant plumes of flame. From the far end of the enemy battle line, lesser warhorns sang. The remaining knights of House Procon Vi attacked the enemy from the left, rolling up the flank.
Open fire!
Escher screamed. The Titans in the sea aimed everything at the Phasadian center. Trapped between the two halves of the Demi-Legio, the enemy were annihilated, their broken remnants driven into the sea. Not one of the enslaved Phasadians survived. But as Escher reflected later, in slaughtering their own people, they had done the enemy's work for them. No attack came from the Hanjin wastes after all, but there would be no reinforcements either.